Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go fishing, shall we? Oh, Trish.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, kiddo.
Hey, how you doing today?
Swell.
Cold out here in Texas. And hey, I'm at a community college today, and it's really neat. I walked on campus. I've got two other friends with me. But anyway, we found a young man and his girlfriend, and I walked up to him and gave him the whole spiel. And I said, would you mind being on the radio? And he goes, sure. And I said, what religion are you? And he said, Jehovah's Witness. And I said, wow. That's great. I've been trying to get a Jehovah's Witness for, I don't know how long, for years.
Yeah, sure.
So anyway, he became a Jehovah's Witness at 8 years old, and I guess the witnesses knocked on his door, and his mom opened the door, and his mom didn't want to talk to them or something. But he was interested at a very young age, and so the witnesses kept coming back maybe week after week. And at 8 years old, I guess maybe he converted or something, or believed that, you know, the Jehovah's Witness religion was a true religion. So he'll talk to you a little bit more about it.
And is he still practicing?
He is definitely still practicing, and he calls himself, I think it's a pioneer. So he, you know, knocks on doors and does his time, you know, with witnessing and things like that. He's very soft-spoken, very nice young man. Mm-hmm. But he did say this, Todd. He said that, I said, no, I'm a Christian. I'm just a regular Christian. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. Is it the same? And he said, no, it's not.
Good for him.
Yeah, I said, very good, very good. I said, so, now let me ask you this. Do we have the same God, though? And he said, yes. So I don't know how the two kind of equate, so maybe you can...
It's Jesus who is the issue, as is always the case when it comes to cults. Jesus is the issue. It's some sort of incorrect theology about him that will be the issue. So, and that is the case with
the Jehovah's
Witness. Guess
what his name is? Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah, and I can translate it for you. I do speak Spanish. Just kidding. It means Jesus.
For him, it actually translates into Michael the Archangel, what that means. Okay. We're going to give it a go with Jesus, the Jehovah's Witness. Pinch me.
Hello.
Jesus, how do you do?
Pretty good. Chilly day down here in Texas.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry for that. All right, you just rang on my doorbell. You're a Jehovah's Witness, and I come to the door. Go.
Why would you want to be a Jehovah's Witness? Okay, just like when you want to learn a profession, there's a lot of ways to learn. You could either go to school, you can learn it from a friend that does it himself. But when it comes to God, there's one way to worship him, and that's what we Jehovah's Witnesses teach. He tells us to follow his son, Jesus Christ, as an example. The example he set to us is to preach the last days here on earth as much as we can. And that's what us as Jehovah's Witnesses that we pride on. Matthew 24:14 says that the prophecy that these good news will be preached all over the world before the end. And
Jesus, you haven't explained to me what would be my reason for becoming a Jehovah's Witness?
Well, it depends. What do you look for? Do you want to worship God like he asked you to, or the way that you want to yourself, where it doesn't interfere with your life?
I have no idea. You're the one who rang on my doorbell.
Okay. Pretty much, when I ring your doorbell, I would present to you the Watchtower and the Awake magazines that help you in your daily life, you know, to worship God as he asked you to, not how we would want to, like he would want to.
Okay. And why would I want to?
Well, because that way, you know, at the end of the last days, that's where Armageddon comes in. And whoever worships God, you know, the way he wanted to, will survive. The rest will unfortunately perish because of their stubbornness to their unwillingness to do so.
All righty, so I'm going to be in big trouble with God if I don't worship him rightly.
Pretty much.
All right, fair enough. Hey, Jesus, I'm looking at a Bible verse. I looked one up while you were chatting because I agree with you. We need to worship God rightly. So I'm going to read from you 1 John 2, verse 22, okay?
Okay.
Here's what it says. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son and does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So I agree with you completely. If we do not worship God and understand God rightly, we are in big trouble, Jesus. So do we have agreement on that? We've got a high five?
Exactly, correct.
All right, so now here's the question. Jesus, one of us, I'm just a regular old Christian. You're a Jehovah's Witness. Either you're wrong, or I'm wrong, or we're both wrong, but we can't both be right here. You and I don't have agreement about Jesus.
Correct.
All right, so here's the situation. If, let's say, Jesus, you don't know me, but take my word for it, I'm a really good guy. Overall, I pay my taxes, I don't beat my children, I go to work, I don't speed as much as I used to, and overall, nice fellow. What's going to happen to me when I die?
Jesus, the text itself, I can't come up with it right on the top of my head, but he explained death as a very deep sleep.
So I'm going to sleep, but what for eternity? Not for the short term, but for the long term. Am I going to go to heaven? Will I go to hell? What's going to happen to me?
Nothing to you. You're just going to die, and you're just going to stay there.
Gone.
We don't believe that we have a spirit that leads us when we die.
Okay. So I'm just going to be in a soul sleep for forever.
Not forever.
Oh.
And if you did what God asked you to do correctly, you will resurrect in paradise.
Oh, so I've got a chance afterwards. After I die, after I soul sleep for a while, I've got another shot at it. Okay, so not too bad for me, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, here's what I think, Jesus. I think the Bible says it's appointed unto man to die one time and then judgment. And as I just read to you from 1 John 2:22, that if we don't understand Jesus rightly, we don't have the Father. Now, here's what I think. I think that Jesus is not Michael the Archangel, but he's the God-man, fully God, fully man, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for the complete forgiveness of sins so that we can have everlasting life so God can be glorified. That's my take on the Bible, okay?
Right.
So, Jesus, if I'm right, based on what I just read to you from 1 John 2:22, you don't have a right understanding of the Son, which means you don't have the Father, which means you don't have forgiveness of sins, which means you're going to hell.
Oh, I have an understanding. I believe exactly what you just said, that Jesus Christ died for the forgiveness of our sins.
Right. But our theology about Jesus is so radically different that if your understanding is wrong based on what I've said, then you're going to go to hell because you don't have forgiveness of sins because you don't understand Jesus right.
If I didn't, I would.
Right. That's right. That's right. If I'm right, if Jesus is the God-man, fully God, fully man, not a mini-God, not a God like us, not in any way less than God himself, fully God, fully man, if I'm right and you're wrong, then Jesus, you're in big trouble.
Right.
Okay. So Jesus, are you 100% sure that you are right?
I am definitely sure.
Okay. So, Jesus, having asked that question, how are you ever going to be allowed to enjoy God if you don't have your sins forgiven?
Well, that's what we as Jehovah's Witnesses are working for our whole life.
I understand that, Jesus, but this is a good theological question. If Jesus Christ died on a cross for the forgiveness of sins, because you know what Ephesians 2 says, by grace we are saved through faith, it is the gift of God, not of works, like what you're trying, so that nobody can boast. The gospel of grace means that we can go to heaven, not a paradise on earth, but to heaven, to be with God, because our sins can be completely forgiven by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. You're trying to work your way there. The Bible says it's by grace alone.
Then how would you explain Matthew 28:19-20?
Baptizing. No, see, this is, I'm glad you brought it up. That's another great example in the Bible, Jesus, that Jesus is God, because it says in the name, singular, and then it lists the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, yet one. Jesus, listen, I don't know you, and chances are really good I'm never going to talk to you again. My concern for you, Jesus, I don't want you to go to hell because you have not been taught right, that it hasn't been shared with you, that there is good news, that we can't work our way there. We can't do good because we're still criminals, and criminals can't work their way out of jail.
Right.
Criminals
we're
have to be
sinners.
Punished. That's right. We're all sinners, and you need to have your sins forgiven. You need to be justified, and the only way to do that is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Right, but we've got to understand who Jesus is rightly, okay?
Okay.
We've got to understand. And see, doesn't it kind of make sense, Jesus, that the only way that the wrath of God can be satisfied is if there's a sacrifice that is worthy of that forgiveness?
Which is what Jesus did.
That's right. Not because he's Michael the Archangel, but because he's fully God, fully man.
Right.
Okay? So here's the good news, Jesus. You can have all of your sins forgiven. You can't work it. You can't earn it. You don't need to be underneath that burden. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You can have complete remission of your sins, Jesus, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, and he will grant you forgiveness of sins if you will repent and put your trust in him rightly. Stop trying to work your way there. Stop trying to earn your way there. And you must believe that he is who he claimed to be, and that is the God-man Jesus Christ. So, Jesus, as we part company, if I die today, I'm in pretty good shape. If you die today, where are you going?
I think I would be okay.
You don't have your sins forgiven. You don't have the right Jesus. If I'm right, you don't have your sins forgiven. Where would people go who don't have their sins forgiven?
Why don't I have my sins forgiven?
Because you don't believe in Jesus the right way, just the way that I read to you in 1 John 2:22. It's Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us today. Always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us at Wretched Radio. Have you bookmarked? Have you checked out? Have you become a regular at the home of all things wretched, wretched.org? It's where all things wretched live on the interweb. And I do mean all things. Full 60-minute Wretched Radio episodes, 30-minute Wretched TV episodes. There is our Wretched store with over 40 amazing resources like Jesus Unmasked, Drive-By False Teaching, and of course our latest evangelistic booklet, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus is God. All those terrific resources are just waiting at the Wretched store. If that's not enough, and it hardly ever is, there's the Wretched Library, where we've hand-selected a whole bunch of great videos, all arranged by topic, from abortion to pneumatology to worship. It's all waiting at the Wretched Library. If you're able and you're not a gospel partner, would you visit wretched.org/donate while you're there? Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Not to say I told you so, but I've been sharing with you how Tomorrow Club's Think Kids camps in Eastern Europe, meeting weekly to hear the gospel, kids get saved, parents get saved, and churches get revitalized. Here is just one example, so I can say, I told you so.
There is actually was a dying church, only two families. So this lady, she's a school teacher. Someone told her about this village, so she came, and believe it or not, she has about 40 kids coming to the Tomorrow Club from the villages around, so the whole church is filled with kids.
Love hearing that. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe? Kids are getting saved, families getting saved, and churches revitalized. $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is Wretched's latest evangelistic resource, perfect for sharing with those who don't understand who Jesus is.
People love to question the divinity of Jesus Christ. Phil Johnson, what would be one proof that Jesus Christ is God?
The calendar is based on
it. That's a pretty big proof, but we have compiled 21 more proofs Jesus is God in a booklet titled The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You know somebody who needs to know Jesus. Get your copies. Terrific evangelistic booklet. Wretched.org/22.
The Man Who Split Time is a must read for every skeptic. So we challenge you. Get it. Read it. Then give it away. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copy at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time.
Important dates in Christian history. 1948, the World Council of Churches is formed as an interdenominational body promoting Christian unity and presence in society. Modern ecumenism saw differing denominations work together in spiritual and social causes, but also resulted in the watering down of Christian doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Trish somewhere, I'm guessing, in Texas. Howdy, Trish.
I found a young girl. Her name, you'll never believe it, Genesis. Her name is Genesis. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? And she's not a Christian. However, she says that she was somewhat raised Christian. She was a Christian, became agnostic, and now she's kind of trying to dip back into Christianity because her boyfriend's a Christian, and she wants him to accept her. And she's not really, you know, going to Christian church because she necessarily believes it.
Yeah. Now, was she born when she was born, however many years ago, did that happen right away, or did it take millions and millions of years? Just curious what kind of Genesis she is exactly. All righty.
The reason why your parents named her Genesis is because she was the firstborn, so she was the beginning, I guess, of their children. So I don't know.
You'll have
to ask her.
A lot of pressure when you're named Genesis. Really, that's putting when you put a Bible name that's overt. That kid either needs to be a raging heathen or a stellar Christian, one or the other. There's really no middle ground. You have no excuse for not being on fire one way or the other. All righty, let's give it a go with Genesis, shall we? Are you ready to go, Trish?
I'm ready to go, and let me just fill you in with this. Genesis was just in a car accident.
Uh-oh.
I don't know how long ago, but very recently, she said her car was totaled. She's lucky that she... lucky. Well, of course, we don't believe in that, but she's lucky that she came out alive, and so that should be interesting to talk to her about that.
All righty.
Okay,
let's give it a go with Genesis, shall we?
Hello?
Hello, Genesis. How do you do?
I'm good. How are you?
Really intrigued by your name, I'll tell you that much.
Thank you.
That's very, very cool. Now, do you believe that God created the world in the beginning?
Kind of, maybe, but I kind of think it's just, you know, it was just there. That's what I think.
Kind of, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't know, there's some things that are like, oh, you know, that's kind of cool looking, so maybe God did create that, you know? But then there's some things that, like, the ground,
yeah.
I don't think he created that, you know?
Why not?
I think that God created all the living creatures, everything that moves.
Yeah.
And I think that everything else that doesn't move, I think that was just there.
Okay.
So I'm kind of, like, on both sides. You know what I mean?
Okay. There's another book in the Bible, Romans. You've heard of that, correct?
I've heard of it.
Romans 1 says that people, they deny that there's a creator. And Peter talks about this, too, that they suppress the truth willingly. They deny that God created the place so that they can live any way that they want to.
Okay.
So when we say that maybe God doesn't exist because it all just happened by itself, it's an effort to suppress what's really obvious. Boy, if there's stuff out there that's really organized, there's just got to be an organizer. And to suppress that truth, you've got to do it willingly and ignorantly and foolishly, because you simply just want to reject what Genesis clearly teaches, and that it is God created the heavens and the earth and everything inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to ask you a question about the Bible that you're named after, okay? Genesis?
Okay.
All right. What's the major story, what's the whole point of the Bible that Genesis is the first book of?
I think the whole point of the Bible is so that people don't feel lost. You know what I mean? Because if there's no, like, actual written on paper of what you're supposed to do with your life, nobody will know where to go.
Okay.
So for those that need something on paper that tells them, don't do that, you know, then that's why it's there. That's what I think.
So it's a guide to just help us function and get through the day.
Basically, yeah. And plus, I mean, if nobody believes in something, then why live, right? So, like, if you believe in God and you believe that there is an afterlife, then you're going to try and get through the day in a specific way so that you get somewhere, you know? And, like, I think that the people that really are believers of God, you know, they have faith in having something after and something to look forward to. So then they're going to try and live out their day the best that they can. So I think it's basically hope for people, you know?
All right. Let me bounce one off of you and you see what you think of this, okay?
Okay.
This is my take on the deal. In the book of Genesis, what we see is a man and a woman in a garden who choose to disobey God. And God knew that they would do that in advance. And here's why. He knew that Adam and Eve would sin and rebel and that the whole place would fall into sin, death, and disease. It's because God had a plan before eternity began. And here was the plan. Create a world, perfect. Create a couple of human beings, knowing that they would sin and rebel and do nasty things and that everybody following them would be disobedient and sexually immoral and perverted, and they would lie and they would steal and they would kill and they would be bad to their mom and dad and they would take his name in vain. He knew all of that would happen so that he could send his son, Jesus Christ, to rescue the rebels, so that by taking the punishment of God the Father that was laid on Jesus Christ the Son, God could redeem a people for himself so that he could show them as an example of how amazingly kind and loving he is. Right. And the whole story begins in Genesis, and that's what the rest of the book is about. That's what I think the book is about. It's more than just giving people guidelines. The problem is we've broken the guidelines, but God rescued us so that he could demonstrate his mercy, his grace, and his loving kindness. That's my take on the book. What do you think?
I think that's pretty accurate. I like that.
Okay.
Your thought.
So, Genesis, here's a question for you.
Okay.
If that's true, that God died to save people, and the other people that don't get saved, he has to punish because they're rebel lawbreakers.
Right.
All right. So there's some people are going to go to heaven and there's some people are going to go to hell. Then the big question is, where are you going when you die?
When I die?
Yeah. What do you think?
I think my soul is going to come back and roam the earth and maybe do good things, maybe do bad things. I'm not too sure. Or I think that my soul is going to go to my happy place. Wherever I'm happy right now, you know, my most happy place, I think that's where I'm going to live for the rest of my life when I die.
All right. Then here's what we got for a situation, Genesis.
Okay.
Your take is you might go to your happy place.
Right.
The Bible says you either go to heaven if you are saved by God or you go to hell.
Right.
So now we've got two opposing worldviews. We've got your Genesis worldview and we've got the Bible's Genesis worldview.
Okay.
The question then is who's right?
Well, okay. I don't say I'm right or anything. It's just that's my opinion. And like I feel like the only way to go to hell, I don't think that if you say sex before marriage, right? Says you're not supposed to.
No.
I think if you have sex before marriage, you're not going to go to hell. You know, it depends on how you act with it and stuff, you know? And like, I think if you go against some of the things in the Bible, it's not an automatic you're going to go to hell. I think if like the bigger things that affect other people's lives, like you're going to kill somebody, you know, and then you kill them, then you're going to go to hell because it affects their life.
Let me just share something with you and challenge that thinking. And if nothing else, you'll have something to ponder today, all right?
Okay, cool stuff.
Here's what the Bible says. This is pretty radical. The Bible says that all liars will have their part in a lake of fire because lying lips are an abomination to God. He hates it because his standard is so high. So it doesn't just take premarital sex. Lying will get you a first-class ticket to hell. So if the Bible is true, let's just go with the Bible just for a minute, Genesis.
Okay.
Here's the question that you should ask yourself. How many lies have I told in my lifetime?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's another thing the Bible says, that God will not hold him blameless who takes his name in vain. It's called blasphemy. Genesis, how many times have you taken God's name in vain by using his name in a bad way?
Actually, I don't really say God often, so I don't think I've done it many times.
All right.
Maybe once or twice.
Okay, so you've broken that law. Here's what Jesus said. This is very radical to us. Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Don't even need to commit the act. Just need to think about it. And God has us tagged because he sees the thought life. All right. So in the privacy of your own heart, Genesis, looking with lust, guilty of adultery. In fact, the Bible even says that if you're just unjustly angry with somebody, you've committed murder in your heart.
Oh, okay.
All right, because God probes deeper. We don't get, the criminals don't get to write the rules. The judge does. And so God says, I'm going to judge the intentions of the heart. So the question then is, Genesis, if you've broken the laws a lot and you died and you faced God, the judge of the universe, and he found you guilty of breaking all of these laws that he has, should he send you to heaven or should he send you to hell?
Knowing me, I think he should send me to heaven.
But you've broken the laws.
Oh, because of the laws, then I'd go to hell.
Yeah, that's right. That's what the Bible says exactly.
I think nobody's perfect.
That's what the Bible says. You're right. Well, we might think that, but that's kind of irrelevant. That would be like telling the judge, I think your standards are too high. The judge is going to say, it's irrelevant.
Think about it. Sometimes you can argue with the judge, and sometimes it works out.
But if the laws are on the books, and that's God's standard, whether we like it or not, you are exactly right. The Bible says we should all go to hell. That's what we deserve because we're rebel lawbreakers.
But if you think about it, then everybody's going to go to hell.
Everybody should go to hell. No, you're right. And it's a horrifying thought. Yeah. You're exactly right. That's what we all deserve. But do you remember the story I told you in the beginning? The good news is God sent forth his son to keep the laws. He lived perfectly. We can't do that for a second. He did it for a lifetime. And he took the punishment that you and I deserve so that our court case could be dismissed. That's the good news.
Yeah.
So Genesis, the bad news is you and I deserve to go to hell. The good news is God will rescue us and save us. And instead of going to a happy place, which we're maybe kind of banking on in our own mind and making things up, God guarantees he's prepared a place for us and he will redeem his children if we will repent and put our trust in Jesus Christ. So Genesis, here's how we got to wrap things up, okay? You got something to think about. You either have to agree or disagree with the Bible that you're a wretched sinner who needs a Savior. And if you agree with that, remember that Jesus Christ died to take the punishment for you. And if you will repent, apologize, and turn from your sins and put your trust in him, then Genesis, he will save you and grant you everlasting life. And you'll go to a way better place than a happy place.
Okay.
Something to think about. You disagree with that? I know. But at least ponder it, okay?
I will ponder it.
All I can ask you to do, can't make you become a Christian, just can share it with you and then let you just deal with it, okay?
Okay, cool stuff. Thank you.
Hey, see you, Genesis.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
This is Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Well, this is new. A California county has banned churches from featuring singing and the use of wind instruments in their online services during the pandemic, unless the performance is done at the individual's residence. Mendocino County in Northern California released the order April 10th, saying it will run through at least May 10th, and it referenced rules that apply to churches, concert halls, auditoriums, temples, and playhouses. Any recording or live-streamed event must be limited to 4 individuals at the venue, with all social distancing rules being practiced. The county's order targets churches with multiple people on stage singing and playing instruments. The order says no singing or use of wind instruments, harmonicas, or other instruments that could spread COVID-19 through projected droplets shall be permitted unless the recording of the event is done at one's residence and involves only the members of one's household or living unit because of the increased risk of transmission of COVID-19. Wow. Albert Mohler criticized the order in a column Monday. He said, to be clear, authorities can and should require the churches respect and maintain physical distancing between all the very limited participants in a streamed worship service. But it's an entirely different matter to tell Christians that they cannot sing in praise and honor of God. Much of Mohler's column referenced the banning of drive-in churches, as has happened in several locations. Mohler wrote, although churches should follow generally applicable shelter-in-place orders, they should not be singled out. He also added, government should never be in the position to derail any religious ministry and deem it non-essential. That is, on its face, completely unconstitutional. That is what one would normally think, but apparently, Dr. Mohler, the times, they are a-changin'. By the way, the mayor of Greenville, Mississippi, said that he has waived the $500 tickets that were issued to Temple Baptist Church congregants at an April 8th drive-in church service. Mayor Eric Simmons' announcement comes after he initially approved an executive order that prohibited drive-in services until the state's shelter-in-place is lifted. You guessed it, the story about the tickets received national attention. The Mississippi governor, Tate Reeves, released a statement on Facebook saying, "Don't trample the Constitution. Please use sense, everybody." Mayor Simmons said the order limiting gatherings to 10 people or less remains in place, but he did say he has asked the governor's office to provide more direction on how to handle drive-in church services. After the pastor of one church appeared on national TV to discuss the mayor's prohibition on the drive-in services, the mayor said he was not targeting churches. He said, quote, "This smear campaign full of lies about my beliefs are unfounded. To publicly state this mayor is targeting a church is unacceptable and reprehensible." Is it? Really? More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sufficiency. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about God. Salvation, doctrine, and life. We do not need any additional revelation to know who God is and what He requires of us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd
Friel.
Trish, where are you, kiddo?
Just lost our phone.
Hey, I'm at a college campus today, and found a young man that was walking out of one of the government buildings, and I said, hey, we're looking for guys that are wearing a 7-Up shirt, wearing 7-Up upside down, and you fit the bill. And he just started laughing, and I said, would you mind being on the radio? He's like, me? And I said, absolutely. And he goes, sure. And so we told him what it was about, and he said he's Mormon, but he's not really practicing. So, he's raised in a Mormon family, knows a lot about Mormonism, has read the Book of Mormon, has read the Bible, but he says Mormonism's too strict, so he has sort of opted out of it. And he basically doesn't know what would happen to him if he were to die tonight. I asked him that question, and he just kind of threw his hands in the air, and I said, well, hey, Lee, would you mind talking about this on the radio? So he's open, and his name is Lee.
That can happen. Mormonism is a work righteous religion, and some people just, the yoke kind of crushes them, and they become Jack Mormons, and out the door they go.
Oh, you just stole my thunder. I was going to ask him if he's a Jack Mormon now.
You still can. He's not listening right now.
I know, but the listeners have listened, and they'll know that you know that, no, it doesn't matter.
Well, it's not like it's like some sort of Shriner secret knowledge thing.
Well, it is for me.
Oh. Way to go, Todd.
Sorry, I wrecked it again.
Yeah.
Here I insult two people in one little phone fishing expedition.
Good job, Todd.
There's only a few big words like anthropomorphism that I know and stuff like that. And
I'm sorry, what's that?
Anthropomorphism.
What's that, Ray?
Oh, it's tell me what it is again.
Trying to set you up.
Yeah, yeah. Attributing the characteristics of man to God so we can understand him, like the hand of the Lord is upon me. The eye of the Lord is in every place.
Like a mother hen.
What?
A mother hen. Yeah. Well, that's not actually anthro, so much as chicken throw.
Yeah.
Pomorphic.
Yes.
All righty. What's the fellow's name again? I'm sorry.
Lee.
Right. He's an adverb. It's what? Okay, got it. Lee is his name. All righty. Let's give it a go with Lee, shall we?
All right. Here we go, Lee. You're live on the air.
Hello?
Hi. How you doing, Lee?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for coming on the program. Hey, what's a Jack Mormon? Do you know?
A Jack Mormon?
Yes.
No, I don't know.
What is it? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's a Mormon who's not totally committed to Mormonism. And would that sum you up, that you were once a Mormon and you kind of slipped away from the whatever it is?
Yeah. Pretty much. I just, kind of stopped going.
So what do Mormons believe about hell? I'd be very interested. Could you tell me, do they believe in a literal hell?
No, not really. The hell is in, like, the fire and brimstone that you might think of, traditionally or whatever, believes that, there's, like, an outer darkness or whatever that people are sent to that completely deny Christ.
So, have you seen how the Bible actually speaks of hell and talks of a lake of fire and it's better for your hand to be cut off and your eye to be plucked out than be cast into hell by God? Have you seen those scriptures?
I've read a few of them, but the thing about it, the Bible is it speaks, nobody takes the Bible literally. It speaks in parables, so.
Everybody takes the Bible not literally? Figuratively.
Figuratively, I guess. Well, it's pretty common knowledge that, in the Bible they use parables and, stories to get a point across.
So
and
you think
the fire and brimstone might be just like a metaphor for, what it would be like to be there.
So what say it's not? What say God is perfect and holy and he so considers sin to be wicked that he'll cast someone like Hitler into a place called hell because he's so angry at him for murdering Jews?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
That's too much for me to say. Do you think you're a good person?
Yeah,
Lee?
Yeah. I don't think conforming to a single religion is what defines you as a good person.
Okay.
I think your acts and deeds as a human being is, as far as helping others in life is really what, defines
a good person.
How good of a person you are.
Well, let's see. There's a criteria to find out if you are good, and it's by looking at the Ten Commandments. You familiar with those?
Yes, sir.
How many can you name, Lee?
Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet.
Let's just touch those while you bring them up. Shall not kill. Have you ever killed anyone?
No, sir.
Ever hated someone?
Yeah. I've had some strong feelings for people
before. The Bible says he who hates his brother is a murderer. Have you ever stolen anything, even if it's small, irrespective of its value?
Yeah.
What do you call someone who steals things?
Thief.
Uh-huh. What about covet? Have you ever desired something that belongs to somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
So you've broken the tenth. What about lying? Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
How many do you think you've told in your life?
I don't know.
So you lost count? What do you call somebody
who tells... Lost count somewhere, sophomore year.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Okay. Now, have you ever committed adultery? Seventh commandment.
No.
Okay, now Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust for her, that is, you desire her sexually, has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yeah.
Okay, here's a quick summation. I think we've looked at five commandments. Are you ready? By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, covetous, murderous, adulterer at heart. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah.
That's called blasphemy. It's a violation of the third of the Ten Commandments, where you use God's name as a cuss word. So think of that, Lee. You've got to stand before a holy God as a liar, a thief, an adulterer, a blasphemer, a covetous person, and a murderer in your heart. Are you going to be found guilty or innocent?
Well, guilty. Hopefully forgiven.
Why would you be forgiven?
Because I don't believe that God's the kind of God that is just looking to punish people. There's, if you are going to go ahead and believe in a God, why go ahead and believe in a God that's not on your side, you know?
Okay, do you know what that's called?
What?
It's called idolatry when you make a God to suit yourself. It's a violation of the, it's a violation of the first and the second of the Ten Commandments. First commandment
says... It's not creating a God. It's just your belief in the same God.
Yeah, you make up a God you feel comfortable with. Lee, I did it before I was a Christian. I had a God I created I felt comfortable with. It was a God that didn't care about righteousness and justice and truth. But the God of the Bible says this, I will by no means clear the guilty. And if you're found guilty on Judgment Day, the Bible says all liars have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no adulterer, no blasphemer, no fornicator, that's someone who's had sex out of marriage, no covetous person will inherit the kingdom of God. So you've got to find a way to be forgiven and saved from the damnation of hell, because the Bible does speak of a literal hell. It's a place of punishment where the fire is never quenched and the worm never dies. And if you believe in a God that doesn't care when 6 million Jews are murdered, then it's not the God of the Bible. God says he'll punish murderers and rapists and thieves and liars and fornicators. Lee, do you know what God did so that you wouldn't have to go to hell? Have you any idea?
He sent his son, Jesus.
Okay, now, this isn't the Jesus of Mormonism. I know you've had a Mormon background, but the Jesus of Mormonism is the brother of Lucifer, isn't he?
Well, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ.
Well, in Christ we are.
Before we created, he was, he was, you know.
According to the
book of... As far as we believe that he was Jesus' brother, we believe he is our brother, too.
Yeah, well, that's the, according to the Book of Mormonism. But the Bible says he was God manifest in the flesh. He was pre-existent. He wasn't created by Jehovah. He wasn't the brother of Lucifer. He was Almighty God manifest in human form for the specific purpose of suffering on the cross for your sins. And Lee, when he was on the cross, the wrath of God came upon him so it wouldn't have to come upon you. You broke God's law, the Ten Commandments. Jesus paid your fine in his life's blood. That means because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God can dismiss your case. He can forgive your sins on the basis that Jesus paid the fine for you. Then he rose from the dead, and what you've got to do is repent and totally trust in him. It's not do your best plus the grace of God. It's you can do nothing to save yourself, and the only thing that can save you is the mercy and grace of God. Lee, when you do that, call upon the name of Jesus Christ and trust him with your eternal salvation, God will forgive every sin and give you everlasting life. Now, do you believe I'm telling the truth? Because it's straight Bible.
Yeah, I believe that.
Okay, so if you die today, you've got God's promise, you end up in hell if you die in your sins. There are two things you have to do to be saved. Do you remember what they are? Repentance is one of them. That means turn from your sin. And the second thing is you trust alone in Jesus Christ. Put your faith entirely in him, not in your goodness, not in anything else, but just the mercy of God. That's the way of salvation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense.
Lee, thank you for listening to me. Todd,
I appreciate you having me on.
Well, stay on for a moment. Todd may like to speak to you.
Hey, Lee, how do you do?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, as I'm listening to the conversation, I kind of get the feeling you're going, yeah, I agree with you, but you're kind of thinking in terms of Mormonism as opposed to just the Bible.
Right. Well, there's some discrepancies as far as, the doctrine that was being discussed. It's hard to keep up whether he's talking about the Bible or yeah. the Book of Mormon, but
let me just share one thought with you, Lee, and we'll let you scoot, okay?
Okay.
It sounded like you kind of walked away from Mormonism because the rules, because Mormonism actually teaches that you have to keep the rules to have any sort of hope to really inherit the highest level of heaven. And
sure. You
maybe have grown weary of that. That's not what he just presented to you. What he said was, because Jesus is God himself, not a created being, he's God himself, because he died on the cross for you, all of your sins can be completely forgiven. No works, no keeping laws to get to heaven. The laws have been fulfilled by Jesus as your perfect sacrifice, so you can go to heaven despite your sins, because you can be forgiven completely, totally, and free. That's a radical difference between Mormonism and just straight Bible Christianity, okay? So just think
well,
about
see, Mormons
that.
Believe that, you know, nobody's perfect. We believe that, you know, you're forgiven too, and it is because Jesus sacrificed himself. But we also believe that by your works you shall know them.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the difference right there. No buts. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone.
This is Wretched Radio. First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is Wretched's latest evangelistic resource, perfect for sharing with those who don't understand who Jesus is.
People love to question the divinity of Jesus Christ. Phil Johnson, what would be one proof that Jesus Christ is God?
The calendar is based on it.
That's a pretty big proof, but we have compiled 21 more proofs Jesus is God in a booklet titled The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You know somebody who needs to know Jesus. Get your copies. Terrific evangelistic booklet. Wretched.org/22.
The Man Who Split Time is a must-read for every skeptic. So we challenge you. Get it. Read it. Then give it away. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copy at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time.
If an youareapreborn.org/wretched supporter providing ultrasounds and even ultrasound machines, this is a great big thank you from South Florida.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room because our mission is to save lives, save souls in South Florida. And in this very room, that specific thing happens. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way. Thank you for your ministry to the unborn.
Ultrasounds save lives, but preborn clinics need ultrasound machines first. If you could provide a machine, or if you could provide a $28 ultrasound, whatever it is, your support for preborn, it saves lives, it saves souls, it saves families. You can become a preborn supporter at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Jude was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote an epistle to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. He contends for the faith with a passionate and vehement attack against false teachers. When you want to know God's concern for the truth, Jude has 25 intense verses just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Trish.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, I'm still at the Christian College. Excuse me, not Christian College. I'm at a campus locally here in Texas, and found a young student. His name is Cheyenne Abraham, and he was raised Muslim and Christian. His dad was a Muslim. His mom was Christian, and he said he sort of chose Christianity, though he's a little bit confused about it. And I'll have him tell you why he struggles with Christianity.
Right.
And it's because of some of the absolutes, you know, that Christianity has, and how Christianity can be black and white and things. And so he has one main thing that I'll have him tell you.
All right, you do. And his name again is Cheyenne?
Cheyenne, yeah.
Cheyenne.
S-H-I-O-N.
All right, we got a theme today. Ray, I don't know if you recognize that. We've definitely got a theme today.
Lee and Cheyenne.
No, wrong track.
No.
Mormon and a Muslim.
Oh, two M's.
That's it.
I see what you're saying.
We plan things here. Let's give it a go with
Cheyenne.
Cheyenne. That's exactly
Cheyenne.
Right.
Cheyenne. Okay, here we go. Right, you're live on the air.
Goodbye.
Hello?
Cheyenne, appreciate you coming on the program. It's Ray speaking. How you doing?
Oh, no problem. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Okay, what's the difference between Christianity and Islam? Can you help me?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of differences, like, and just the subtle things that they believe.
Can they both get you to heaven?
Well, I guess that's up to whoever's believing their religion. You know, Muslim thinks that they're going to go to heaven, and Christian thinks they're going to go to heaven, you know.
So what's the difference?
You know, I guess I don't know that.
Boy, it's important.
I mean, it's an organized religion, like, you know, I guess there's similarities in that itself.
So do you have a contention with Christianity?
Well, I was raised a Christian and a Muslim, like part of my life, and I kind of accepted Christianity more. But then just as I got more into it, I guess as I got older, I guess some of the things I disagree with.
Such as?
I mean, not necessarily disagree with, I just don't understand, I guess, the whole thing with if you're not a Christian, you're going to go to hell, you know?
Do you know what gives the understanding? There's something the Bible calls a schoolmaster, and its purpose is to bring understanding. Do you know what the schoolmaster is?
No.
It's called the moral law or the Ten Commandments. Most of us know it as the Ten Commandments.
Oh.
When
okay.
you look at the Ten Commandments, it'll really help you realize that you need something desperately that only Christianity can give you.
Mm-hmm.
How many commandments can you name, seeing you've got a Christian background, Cheyenne?
Don't steal, covet thy neighbor. I probably name about like half of them.
Okay, do you think you're a good person?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, I think I'm a pretty good person.
Okay, well, let's just look at the Ten Commandments, and then I'll come back to you in a minute and see if you still think you're a good person, okay?
Okay.
This will really help you. Bear with me. Look on me as a dentist doing just a little bit of program so we can drill and then fill, okay, and get you a good set of teeth. How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
Way too many.
Okay. What do you call somebody who tells lies?
Call someone,
It rhymes with fire and begins with L.
Well, liar.
Yes.
But I mean, it's human nature to lie, you know.
I know it's painful. We hit a raw nerve, but it's true.
Yeah.
So hang in there.
Right.
Have you ever stolen something in your life, even if it's small? Irrespective of its value. What do you call someone who steals?
A thief.
Okay. Have you ever used God's name in vain? Okay, that's blasphemy. It's using God's name as a cuss word to express disgust. Have you ever coveted your neighbor's goods? Okay. Have you ever looked at a woman and lusted after her? Because Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in the heart. Have you done that?
Yeah.
Okay, Shana. So here's a little, I'm going to step back and just give you a little analysis of how you're doing as your dentist. Mm-hmm. It's been a little painful for you, but you won't let me drill and fill unless you realize you've got a problem. So by your own admission, Cheyenne, you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, a covetous person, and an adulterer at heart.
Yeah.
So if you face God on Judgment Day, and he judges you by the Ten Commandments, and remember God is perfect and holy, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
Well, I guess, you know, like, with the way it's going, I guess I'd be guilty, but...
You don't have to guess. You definitely would be guilty. You'd be like the rest of us. I mean, I'd be guilty if God judged me according to the Ten Commandments and according to my sins.
According to just the Ten... Yeah, of course, yeah, I'd be guilty.
Okay, so now, you're like... What's happening is you're like a criminal standing in front of a judge and you've broken the law, and it's very, very serious to a point where he's going to bring the death sentence upon you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What can you say to God on Judgment Day that will allow him to free you from hell? How can you justify blaspheming his name, committing adultery of the heart, lying and stealing and coveting? There's nothing you can say. You've got to say, boy, I'm guilty. The only thing you can do is fling yourself upon the mercy of the judge. Now, here is the difference between Christianity and all the other religions. All the other religions say the judge can be bribed. I'll pray a lot, I'll fast a lot, I'll give money, I'll sit on a hard pew, I'll lie on beds and nails, whatever. They think our works are going to turn the judge's head. He's not going to be bribed. The Bible says the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. The only thing that can save us is his mercy. And if you will fling yourself upon the mercy of the judge, that's God, he's rich in mercy to all that call upon him. Now, here's where the difference comes in. In Christianity, God paid your fine himself. He became a human being, Jesus of Nazareth, gave his life on the cross, taking the punishment for your sins. He was bruised for our iniquities, the Bible says. You broke God's law. Jesus paid your fine in his life's blood. That means God can now legally dismiss your case. He can forgive your sins. You can walk out of God's courtroom because Jesus paid your fine. He's the Savior of the world. And then he rose from the dead, defeated death. Now, what you have to do in response to that is simply turn from your sins and put your trust in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more than an intellectual belief in him. It's like you trust a parachute. You give yourself to it to save you. And that's what you have to do. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just say, God, I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. I'm going to turn from sin. And then just as you trusted your own goodness to save you, transfer that trust from yourself to the Savior, and God will forgive your sins. So can you see the difference between what Christianity offers in the Savior and these other religions? They're self-righteous religions. They're works-righteous religions. And that's the difference is light and darkness. The difference is life and death and heaven and hell. Make sense?
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense. The only thing I don't get is if, like, say there's a Muslim who follows all these Ten Commandments without even, you know, thinking about Ten Commandments. What's to say, or why is it if he doesn't believe in Jesus as our, you know, one and only Savior that he goes to hell?
Well, if he dies in his sins, God will have to give him justice. If he's if he's lusting after woman, he's lied and stolen and blasphemed God's name and lived in rebellion and unthankful and unholy, God will give him justice, whether he's from Africa or China or India. The location of where you're born or where you live makes no difference to God's justice. If he sees a murderer, he'll punish him. A rapist, he'll punish him. A thief, a liar, he'll punish him. And so what God offers the whole of humanity, not just Christians, he offers Jews, Gentiles, Muslims, Hindus, anyone, whosoever will, may come. God provided a Savior for the whole of humanity. And so this is good news for a Muslim. If a Muslim will just say, yeah, I've broken the law of Moses, I need God's mercy, and he understands the cross, all he has to do is put his faith in Jesus and God forgives his sins. Same with a Hindu, same with someone in Africa or India or China. Christianity isn't American. It came from Israel. Jesus was Jewish. The disciples were Jewish. The first 8,000 Christians were Jewish. It came from Israel. Christianity is not American. It's from the Middle East, and it came as God's response to man's big dilemma of death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Cheyenne, so if you were to die today and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell according to God's promise. There are two things you have to do to be saved. Do you remember what they are?
Believe in Jesus.
Well, repentance is the first thing. Repentance. And trust in Jesus, and it's more than a just a belief. If you believe in a parachute but jump without it, you're lacking brainery. What you've got to do is put your trust into that parachute, and it's the same with the Savior. Put your trust willfully in him, the person of Christ, for your eternal salvation. So when are you going to do that? When are you going to yield it all to the Lord and be born again?
I've done it before, to be honest.
I know, but you wouldn't be trusting in your own goodness if you were soundly converted and the Holy Spirit lived within you. You'd be saying, I'm a wretched sinner. I need Jesus as I need my breath. So what I'm trying to get, I'm trying to make sure you make it to heaven. I'd love to see you in heaven, okay?
Yeah.
You have a Bible?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, please crank it open. There's nothing more important. Todd, would you like to talk to Cheyenne?
Hi, Cheyenne. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How about yourself?
Really, really good. You know, I, for whatever this is worth, I would have called myself a Christian for many, many years, But Cheyenne, I never understood and agreed with God what a bad sinner I am, and I never repented from my sins, apologized, forsake my sins, and put my trust in Jesus. So until an individual gets to that place where they recognize there's nothing good in me all by myself, you can't be saved, because God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. So all we can ask you to do today is just think on these things and do what the Bible says, and that is make your calling and election sure. Okay, Cheyenne?
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right, that's all we're asking you to do. Please think about it today, okay?
Okay.
All right, dude, we'll be praying for you, all right?
Oh, thank you.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
Goodbye. Pray for Cheyenne and for Ray. Did he say Brainery?
Until next time, go serve your king.